The glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Have you been baptized?
And if so, how significant is that? What does baptism mean to you? How much do you value it? What gift, what difference does it bring to your life? For some people, baptism is something their parents did for them without too much conviction many years ago, and never really spoke much about it or explained it. Being baptized perhaps means some vague connection to church or perhaps God, but little more. For others, it's the foundation stone, the cornerstone of their life. Baptism is our connection with God, the one we love and trust in and follow. It tells us that in Christ, the power of sin and evil are broken in our lives. We're members of the body of Christ, the church of God. Sons and daughters anointed by the Holy Spirit, graced by the God who justifies, saves, sanctifies, and guides those who believe in him. I wonder how you would put into words the heft that baptism has in your life. I was reading recently some reflections on baptism by Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop, and he used a phrase about it which caught my ear. Baptism puts us where Christ is, Rowan Williams says. In baptism, we come to stand where Jesus does. And we see where Jesus stands and what he does and what it means for him when he is baptized in the Jordan. At his baptism, we see Jesus in the bosom of the Father, as one theologian put it, in the bosom, in the embrace of God his Father. We see Jesus connected intimately to the Father who delights in him, who sends his Spirit upon him, who declares his love and his pleasure in who Jesus is and what Jesus does. To be baptized puts us where Jesus is, in the bosom, in the embrace of the Father. With Jesus, we pray to God as Abba. We trust in his love and good purposes for us. We can hear his words of delight and pleasure in his believing sons and daughters. Wherever life takes us, baptism urges us to trust that we are ever where Jesus is, in the bosom of the Father. In the bosom of the Father, but Jesus isn't only there, although he's always there. We see in the baptism story that he is in the bosom of the sinners. In baptism, he lines up among the penitents. He's in their midst. He identifies with the transgressors, those who are making the confession that he doesn't need. Those who are seeking forgiveness and redemption from all that they've done, for all that they've done wrong. The sinless one counts himself sinful so that sins can be forgiven. Jesus places himself in the bosom of the sinners, and baptism immerses him into the bosom of the world as Jesus plunges himself into the waters. The water that offers purity and symbolizes salvation, but represents as well that primordial chaos over which the wind from God, the Spirit from God, breathed and brooded in creation. Christ plunges into these waters of death and danger, that turbulent, threatening reality that's always swirling just below the surface of the everyday world. he plunges into the chaos of the world in baptism. Just as he will plunge into the turbulent religious and political life of his nation. And it will drown him. 3 years later, he will be submerged in the deep waters of death. If we are where Christ is in baptism, then we must be there too. Part of that world, often chaotic as it is, engaging with the world in its sin and its turbulence. Sometimes touched and harmed by the world's chaos, but ever held in the bosom of the Father at the very same time. Many years ago in my first incumbency, I was contacted by a family asking for the baptism of their child. "Can you do it this very Sunday, Vicar?" "Why so soon?" I asked. "Well, we're going to France next week and the baby will be safer if she's been christened." "Okay," I said, "well, I'm afraid the services are planned for this Sunday and baptism requires some thought and preparation. May we talk when you come back?" I didn't give them the full Rowan Williams or even the full Derwin Williams, but I did say baptism isn't magic, it isn't a charm. It points us to that trust in God, where we know that the dangers of the world cannot separate us from the love God has shown in Christ. Baptism puts us where Jesus is, in the bosom of the Father, in the bosom of the world, in its sinfulness. But it puts us somewhere else as well. Jesus stands ahead of his baptism among God's people, in the midst of Israel, in their faithfulness and knowing their flaws. Israel, whose sins and misguided ideas have brought them to baptism, but they're also in trust that God can offer a new start. Jesus stands in baptism among God's people, and we in baptism take that place as well. Our place among God's family, the church, the body of Christ. And there we will find wonders and delights, a fellowship of love and care and unity, a place of powerful worship and transforming prayer, a home of belonging, acceptance, and hope. But sometimes, as our Acts reading told us this morning, a place of confusion, error, even brokenness. We meet some people, these Ephesian disciples, these folk who have a connection to Jesus. They are disciples, followers. Neither Paul nor Luke, as he narrates, rejects these folk as believers in Christ and followers of the Lord. They are seeking to walk behind Jesus, but their learning and understanding is quite deeply flawed. They haven't ever heard that there is a Holy Spirit. But Paul doesn't send them away in shock and horror at their ignorance. He teaches. He ministers. He guides them towards the truth. He opens their lives up through baptism in Jesus' name and welcomes them into the bosom of the Father through life in the Spirit. In his commentary on this passage, the bishop and theologian Tom Wright suggests that the church will always be a bit like this. Faithful, keen, enthusiastic to follow Jesus, but needing correction, restoration, and reformation. And that's something that applies to each and every one of us. As an example, he tells quite an extreme story, I think. A story about a parish where the ministers tried prayerfully, faithfully, week by week, to minister the sacraments and preach the truth of Christ. But where some strange ideas and practices persisted, in particular, one elderly member of the congregation, a lady, brought her cat to church each week. And when communion was held, she would take the wafer and break it in half, consume one piece and feed the other to her feline. The vicar had a word to suggest that this was not appropriate. "Ah, but you see, my cat is the reincarnation of my late husband, and through communion I'm sharing in fellowship with him." Jesus stands in the midst of God's people, and in baptism we stand with him. He stands to love, to sanctify, to correct, to chasten, to encourage. And we all, in our different ways, need that presence to heal and conform our minds to his. If you have been baptized, let Christ's baptism speak to you afresh on this day. Hear that you're where he is, in the bosom of the Father, the bosom of the world, the bosom of God's people. And in your daily life, your working, your homemaking, your child raising, your neighbour loving, your church serving, your community transforming, whatever you do, know he's there with you. When it's rewarding, glorious and fulfilling, and when it's confusing, hard or painful. If you've been baptized, he's always there to trust in, to love, to follow. And if you've not been baptized and would like to be in the Father's bosom, and like to know that Christ is there with you as you make your way through this wonderful, woeful world, why not ask and find out more? Think about taking the plunge. For there is no moment more beautiful, none more profound, than when the Father speaks his words to another of his faithful children. "You're my daughter, my son, my child. You're my beloved. With you forever, for always, my soul is filled with joy."